welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the podcast. Today, we continue our New Year's podcast series, taking a look back at 2016 and a look forward to 2017 with Stefan Bockhop, director of channels for Lenovo Canada. 2016 saw Lenovo expand its push on the data center in recent years, moving from a simple devices company to strengthen its infrastructure offerings by acquisition, by partnership, and by organic growth. Stefan walks us through what the company's been doing, where it's heading, and why he feels Lenovo is in a unique position in this field. He also takes us through some of the highlights of the device strategy and offers some previews of the company's new channel program slated to debut with its new fiscal year, and offers his predictions for 2017. So let's get right into it, my interview with Stefan Bockhop. Steph, thanks for joining us once again.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
It's been, I think, as usual, an interesting year at Lenovo. It feels like this was the year that, as much as you guys have talked about servers and infrastructure and all that non-device side of the world for with increasing volume for a few years, this feels like the year that it kind of became the message that really got the push behind it, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we'll always be the guys who, you know, make the iconic ThinkPad product, and you know, we stand behind the client technology, and we're the number one PC company in the world, so naturally we're strong at that. But this year, I agree, we've really taken it to the next level in our data center business. And I feel like, you know, our teams both here in the Canadian office and kind of around the world have really embraced that the data center as the next frontier, the next wave of growth for the Lenovo company. So it's been an exciting time. I've had the pleasure of leading some teams in our channel to kind of go into this new frontier this year.
What have you seen as the highlights on that data center side of the business over the course of the last 365?
Yeah, I'd say it's been an interesting year in that, you know, we're penetrating this market in a time in which there is quite a bit of disruption going on within the market itself. So you've got a real, you know, kind of base level shift in thinking about how people, you know, consume their infrastructure, their data center, you know, spend or technology. And so you've got the traditional kind of three pillar model of, you know, network, storage, compute, and, you know, put your software, you build it way ahead, you build for future capacity, is being kind of disrupted by this new, more agile model of data center consumption, driven a lot by, you know, people experiencing the agility of the cloud, and then maybe realizing, yeah, I like that, but I really want it, you know, I want it in my house. So you're really moving to that hybrid, that agile IT model in your own house. And that's where we're, you know, coming into this space. And so it's very fortunate for us in that because there's this disruption going on and because maybe we're talking to people who are new to us in this space, they're maybe more open to having the discussion with us because we're, you know, not coming from a place of baggage, coming from a place of, hey, I sold you that SAN, you know, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We're more talking about, hey, what are your business problems today and how do you want to solve them going forward and how can we help? And it makes for an interesting dynamic in the market.
How's that focus resonated in the channel, and how has it changed, or has it changed who you're working with on the partner side?
Yeah, I'd say we've always had a very broad set of partners in Canada, mm-hmm. and so we've been, you know, I'd say we've been a number one or number two at many of the partners in terms of their client business. So we're definitely working with most of the kind of large format partners, as well as in regional areas, more SMB focused partners and even some kind of specialty based partners. But I will say there are more conversations happening in either data center parts of those partners, those enterprises. There's larger groups that are saying, hey, we'd really like to talk to you guys about this, or do you have an opportunity to work with us here, as well as a whole host of partners that either came over from their relationship with the IBM business, or even that are new and looking at us and saying, hey, we kind of like what you're talking about and what you're doing, and we'd like to have that discussion and go to market with you. And then I'd say, you know, this year more so than probably any other years in the past, that the MSP market and that market that is really, you know, where I'm actually not selling through the partner to the end user, but I'm selling to the partner who consumes it and on behalf gives it to the partner as a service, we're finding a lot of common ground and a lot of common interest with that group of partners, especially in the last, I'd say, even more so in the last 6 months than anything. That's really been kind of accelerating for us.
And how are you addressing that MSP market? Is that sort of a different, I mean, you touch on, certainly on a different motion. Can you walk me through a little bit how that mode and that motion is different for you guys?
Yeah. Well, Rob, it's, you know, if I tell you on this podcast and my competitors hear it, I give away that. No, I mean, if it truly was that, I think, you know, somebody would have figured it out. If it's truly the model that said, you know, two parts vanilla, one part sugar and some butter, and there's your MSP cookie, all good. I don't even know if that's a cookie recipe or not, but it's not. And that's the piece I think we've recognized when we're talking to any of these partners, whether they're MSP partners or infrastructure partners or, you know, whatever. We try to think of them as, like, this is a business that's, you know, it's founded, it's run on some intellectual property, some kind of unique things. There's some value being generated by this organization for our mutual customers. And so one of the things that Lenovo has always been proud of, and I think we do, you know, fairly well, is that we're very flexible and we're as agile as some of the IT solutions we sell. And so being able to be agile and listen to the business problem of the MSP or the outcomes we're trying to get to is as important when you're whiteboarding an IT solution as it is when you're trying to figure out, well, how are we going to engage so we both come out of this, you know, with a profit and our mutual customer is satisfied. And I think that tact has done very well. It takes maybe a little more time because you can't just, you know, spread the programmatic cookie butter across the piece, but the outcomes are so much more solid and beneficial to all parties, and I think that's where we've been having some success. So we'll keep on that tack. We'll try to listen more than we talk and try to find out, hey, what's really going to make a difference for, you know, both of us in this space, because that's where we've seen the best success.
All right. Circling back to the other side of the business, because, you know, it is only what Lenovo's been known for since it's been Lenovo. What have you seen as some of the highlights on the client and device side of the world this year?
Yeah, so the device market has been an interesting one this year. So there's certainly some compelling and kind of market driving forces at work in the market. I'd say on the one side of the fence, we've seen a resurgence of some very premium price points, very premium products, especially in that two-in-one space, taking advantage of Windows 10, taking advantage of kind of the modern type interface that, you know, there's products out there that are, you know, from the heady days of the O's in terms of price bands, where customers are saying, yeah, I'll pay a little more for tech because I'm going to use it a little longer and I want that, you know, I'm not going to buy a tablet and a laptop, I'm going to buy one device and it's going to do both jobs for me. And whether that's a detachable keyboard or a, you know, yoga style hinge, that's a consumer, a use consumer choice, right, where whoever's going to use it decides, I want to consume my technology this way. But that's been a great bright spot. Some really outstanding technology that we've brought to market is doing very, very well. Our X1 line, whether it be the yoga or the tablet, you know, great demand, great feedback from the market saying, hey, you guys have really brought, you know, business back to this type of product in the marketplace. And then, you know, you flip down to the other side and you've got an emerging low cost compute model, you know, and Chromebooks for sure, is the driver for that. And the one-to-one computing model in education, has really started to take off. We're not quite as far down the pipe as our, peers in the U.S. in terms of consumption rates, but you can see the hockey stick is starting to come up. And even in that one-to-one low-price model on kind of some endpoint Windows devices as well. So it's not just a Chrome, though Chrome seems to be currently the market leader for sure. And even those types of devices are starting to emerge in non-education spaces for an alternative to kind of high-density models, some government, some other areas where we're seeing maybe not full-scale adoption, but certainly pilots, certainly discussions about, could this be our endpoint device choice? Could we function? What's the cost savings? What's the benefits? So you have this kind of market dichotomy happening where, you know, you've got both ends of the spectrum are kind of growing in some ways, which is not the norm. Usually there's a, you know, if you look at the market aggregation, there's a big fat spot in the middle. It's in the midpoint price band, and that's where a lot of the volume happens. That's still there, but it's starting to, you know, spread a little bit, which is interesting. It gives, you know, companies like us who have a lot of different choices for our endpoint devices, we find we're doing quite well because we can address that divergent market of, hey, I'd like this, or I want this, or I want this. Yes is our answer, right? Kind of more often than not.
And it would seem to speak to a need for some more flexibility and certainly different types of solutions from solution providers going forward. You know, especially when you look at that lower end, when you're talking about big deployments of things like Chrome or low-end Windows devices, that is almost certainly being driven by an application or by a solution as opposed to being a personal device type of decision, is it not?
Yeah, and so if the function of the device is either maybe one-time use or specific use, we're seeing some tablet adoption for that. If it's a, you know, kind of limited use or a shared device type environment, they seem to do well for that. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, a power user, a company where the entire intellectual property or all the work is done on a endpoint device, that tends to gravitate toward more robust, more powerful, you know, more capabilities to work in multiple modes. So it is very much a fracturing market in that, you know, a PC user, I'm doing the air quotes thing for those of us listening on the podcast, a PC user is not the, you know, the stereotypical PC user of days of yore. That device could be doing a whole host of different things. And so, you know, it's natural that it's starting to fragment into some purpose-built devices, some specific use devices, as well as that traditional, I do really everything I do on this endpoint device.
All right. Switching to a bit of the crystal ball, what are you guys thinking about the market heading into 2017, and what are some of the bets you guys are making for 2017?
Yeah, I'd say in the I'll start endpoint and I'll end in the data center. So I'll kind of start in our heritage and end in kind of some of the new stuff. I see a continuation of kind of that, maybe a little more of that smoothing out or fragmenting of the kind of PC space. So I see more opportunity for, you know, meeting the needs of the endpoint with some more diversity of product, with some more innovation of product. I think there's still some opportunities there. I see that purpose-built or single-use type activities, probably especially around tablet-type devices, will probably continue to ramp. So that endpoint, doing something specific on a tablet, whether it's for automation, manufacturing, you know, the Internet of Things is going to be lit up by a bunch of machine-to-machine communication, but at some point there's going to be a human. Those interfaces are likely to become endpoint devices, and the tablet probably fits the bill best right now. So I think you'll see some more commercial adoption of that product, and, you know, it'll show up in places you didn't expect, and that's wonderful because it's, you know, iterative. It's new revenue streams for the IT channel. And I think as these, you know, all this multitude of things, endpoints, compute comes into the market, it creates choice, and choice can lead to confusion, mystery, and that's good for partners because the more kind of choices the end user has, the more kind of, what do I do? How do I solve for this? That's where they turn to our channel partners, our solution providers, to say, look, let me help you get to what you want to do. Let me ask you a few questions. Let me show you what's out there. Let me give you an idea of how this could work for you. And that's where I think the channel has always been the biggest value for, you know, business customers, especially is untangling that, you know, complicated world and kind of bringing to them, and here's what I need to run my business, whether that's a, you know, a retail store, a manufacturing company, a law office. They're not really interested in the tech as much as doing what they do to earn money. Let us help you with that piece. And then I think in the data center, you know, even more so, you have all kinds of new choices. You have all kinds of disruptive technologies out there that are designed to make your business more agile, to make your business more resilient, to increase your security, all the things that are really necessary to function in the new kind of digital economy. But by and large, most companies you know, don't want to be in the IT business. They want to be in the business they're in. And so, again, this is an opportunity where you have all of this new disruptive technology, you have all kinds of choices to make in market, where I see a huge benefit for channel partners, for solution providers, and I stress the solution part of this, to come in and say, listen, you know, we've worked with a number of different companies. We work with, I hope, Lenovo, and they have a whole ecosystem of partners. Let's figure out what you need to solve for, and let's figure out if there's some way to do that. And I think that's where we'll start to see even some growth in the channel space, especially as partners help detangle or demystify or simplify some of these fairly complex choices to make to get to the outcomes, and then start implementing this technology, you know, for the benefit of the customer's business. And that's where we at Lenovo are placing big bets with our ecosystem of kind of, I'm going to say, the more agile, the more disruptive technologies. So if a customer thinks, I think I need to go to hyperconverged, but I'm not sure if I should be a Nutanix shop, a Simplivity shop, a Datacore shop, a StoreMagic shop, okay, maybe you should be one of those, maybe you shouldn't, but let's go talk to a solution provider, let's get the folks from Lenovo in, let's get the right partnerships in front of you to say, hey, here's the problem you're trying to solve, here's how we've solved it in the past, or here's how we think you can solve it going forward. That's a huge value I think partners are going to start bringing. And so I hope as we bring this ecosystem to our, you know, channel partner community, that the partners have a great opportunity to go and, you know, kind of demystify it. The old adage, if there's mystery, there's margin.
Yep.
Make a little money on it and kind of really solve those customer problems. And that earns us the right then to come back again to the customer when they have another problem and kind of do it all again. So that's where I see us kind of going in the marketplace. That's where I see the market evolving to. This disruption, you know, breeds opportunity, breeds a different way of doing things. And I hope, you know, we can be a big part of that for the Canadian channel.
All right, great. As you're out there talking to partners towards the back end of 2016 and as they're looking at 2017, what's the mood? What are partners talking about? Are they feeling good about where business is headed? And what are they excited or concerned about?
Well, so it's interesting. I talked to partners of many different kind of sizes, the business size, and different kind of spectrums of specialization or generalization across the continuum. And so, you know, a couple of common things I see in the market. There is a sentiment that there is still some more consolidation that's going to occur in the market, so maybe not just among vendors, which we've seen quite a bit of in this past year, but also in terms of the channel ecosystem itself. And so I think that is something that, you know, there's a population of partner ownership who are at the point in their life, you know, they're thinking I maybe want to retire and yep. and you know not do this IT thing anymore. Maybe this phishing thing could be interesting to me, and so they're looking for either a sell model or a pass down model or some model to kind of, you know, come out of the business. So there's that kind of strata of partners, and then there's partners that are looking for either amalgamation of intellectual property or looking for ways to benefit themselves geographically by, you know, kind of partnerships or buying another firm. So I think that is something that's on the mind of many of the kind of partners I talk to in terms of what they're going to do and how they're transforming their business in that model through kind of either acquisition or partnership or whatever. And then the other one I see is we're fully into the as a service model, right? The MSP, and it could be hardware, infrastructure, software as it the as a is a, you know, that's your decision of how you want to monetize it and how your financials work. But the part of as a service, that utility model, that, you know, per month, per seat type contract model, is the way almost everyone is trying to get to. And so the barriers to that are, you know, capitalization. Do you have enough capital to get there? How much of your business are you going to move there? But that is definitely a shift that is occurring. And, you know, there's some partners who have a head start and have already gotten there or had started that way, and, you know, that's the only model they know. And there are partners that are trying to get there. And I think there's going to be kind of winners and losers in that space as that shift moves off, as customers want to consume rather than build, right? Are you going to be a builder or are you going to be a buyer of what you need, more and more of the continuum is moving to that. I want to consume it. And so how the ecosystem shifts to support that, you know, where the customer wants to spend money, that's on the mind of a lot of channel partners. And so, you know, when we here in, you know, in the office or at headquarters look around and say, how can we help assist that? How can we do that? That's one of the areas we're trying to, you know, work with our partners, say, what would it look like from a manufacturer point of view in that model for you? How could we help you with that model? How could we be a better vendor for you in that kind of new model? And so those are, you know, it's not a technology discussion at all in those cases. It's often a financial model. It's a support model. It's a, you know, how do we offset some of the gaps between each other to get to the customer's end state of, here's how I want to consume things and here's how I want to give you money and I want to do it this way now. So how do we make that work? So that's an interesting and, you know, for me, I find that very interesting and very engaging conversations with our partners. So I enjoy those probably the most lately in terms of trying to figure that out for our mutual benefit.
All right. Appreciate those insights. Before we wrap it up, just wanted to give you a chance to offer whatever shout out you may wish to offer to the Canadian channel community as we head into 2017.
Sure. So I'd say, you know, one of the things I want to give you a bit of a preview to, speaking to our partner community is we decided early into the acquisition of the System X business that we didn't want to put too many technical certifications or sales certifications or kind of restrictions in the market in terms of who could sell the infrastructure technology. And now we've been kind of going down the path for a couple of years now, and we've realized that we're probably lacking a little bit in market, not having some of that tiering, not having some of that kind of education, not having that kind of baseline activity. So I'll announce here on this podcast to the market, we are going to reintroduce some level of education requirement that we're going to ask our partners to do. It won't be onerous. I'm not looking to become a vendor who kind of monetizes my training and certification program. But it will be something that says, hey, we feel confident you can represent the technology and have a good outcome for our mutual customer in this space. And for those who want to overinvest in this space and do a little bit more and reach a certain kind of revenue plateau, we'll also introduce some benefits in a tiering structure. So to be determined whether we have the traditional Olympic medal count or some other, you know, fancy names for them, but think of Lenovo coming out just in the data center business with some kind of a tiering type structure and a requirement opportunity for our partners, both technical and sales, to get accreditation certification. And yeah, I will tell you one of the pieces of feedback we got early when we kind of floated the balloon with some of our partners was, hey, I'll take your base certification, but if you can also then bring me opportunities to learn about emerging tech, about disruptive tech, about things like hyperconverged software defined, and make that part of your curriculum so that my technical and sales staff, although they know your product, they also know about market disruptors, new styles of kind of IT consumption, then I at least get some benefit not only from the tiering structure you're going to bring Lenovo, but also how you go about kind of making my sales force more effective in market. And so we heard that loud and clear, and as we introduce kind of more layers and more tiers and more offerings in this space, we're definitely going to focus down that, I'm going to say, new style, disruptive, alternative type technologies. So hopefully it becomes not only a way to recognize those partners who kind of align with us and do kind of good work to become certified and able to represent the solutions, but also lift that kind of sales force and that technical knowledge in the market. So that's our kind of goal or outcome for this program. Changes will take effect in April, so there'll be lots of time for partners to look at it, feel how they want to engage, feel what levels they want to engage at, and then we'll kind of start running that for our fiscal year starting April 1st.
All right, great. Appreciate that that heads up, and we'll be looking to learn a lot more about that in the weeks and months to come. Steph?
Wonderful.
Thanks once again for your time.
All right, thanks, Robert. Always a pleasure, and happy new year to the Canadian channel.
So there you have it. A look back at 2016 and a look forward to 2017 directly from Stefan Bockhop, Director of Channels of Lenovo Canada. I'd like to thank Stefan and Lenovo for the sponsorship of the site in 2016, helping us bring all this to you.
The New Year's podcast series continues next week. Up next, on Tuesday, January 10th, we'll be joined by HB Canada President Mary Ann Yule and Channel Chief John Camilleri for their review of 2016 and preview of 2017. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.